Domnul e bun. God is good. And His goodness is revealed to us day to day. And I want to have a short message today. And I'm going to read from John 17, verse 20, beginning with verse 20. Jesus Christ is praying here for, He begins in this chapter praying for Himself. Then he prays for those who Christ has given, who God had given him, which was the disciples. And now he goes into a prayer for all believers, for us. So beautiful thought to think that Jesus Christ prayed for us and had us in mind, even here in the 21st century. He says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, in other words, the disciples he's been praying for, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that, this is key, catch this, so that the world may believe that you sent me. So there's a particular testimony that the church gives when there is this Trinitarian-like unity within the church. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them that they may be one, just again as we are one, I in them and you in me, and they may be perfected in unity so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. There's some really beautiful moments in fatherhood. And one of those moments for me are the privilege that I get to put my daughters to bed at night. We've developed sort of a pattern now where I'll put the girls down one night, then Alina will do it one night. We'll try to divide the chores up in the house towards the end of the day. And what I do is I sleep with both girls, and one on this arm and one on this arm, and they say, Tati, vreau să dorm pe mamuța ta, pe mamuța ta. So I have Gloria usually on my left and Melody on my right. And usually I'll tell them a story or I'll sing them a song. They really like these songs by Speranza de Copii, and I'll sing them one of those songs. And it's, you know, I pray again. We spend time praying, but then I pray again for them. And what they do is they put their hands on my chest, Gloria from the left and Melody from the right, and I clasp both hands and I hold them. And it's just a beautiful moment, you know, of tenderness, of pure intimacy. And it's beautiful for me and energizing for me. Now, something interesting happens when Alina does it. So when it's Alina's turn, she has Gloria on the left, Melody on the right, trying to reenact because it seems to be effective with me. They're usually down, you know, within a couple of minutes. So when Alina does it, she has a harder time. And she has a harder time because Gloria reaches from the left and Melody reaches from the right. But Gloria is a mama's girl, hands down. And when Melody reaches, Gloria pushes Melody's hand away as if mama's mine, mama's all mine. And, you know, so that creates a little bit of tension. Melody says, I can't sleep, tu poți dorm și eu vreau. And so they go into this little battle left and right. I was thinking of this analogy of how we as Christians, you know, the body of Christ is diverse, and we all have access to the intimacy of the Father. And we all have the ability to reach out. He's given us the Holy Spirit. We have the ability to love Him, and we should be doing it in unity and letting Him, in a sense, in an image, clasp our hands and to know that we have access. The problem occurs in the church when one spectrum of the church pushes the hand of the other spectrum of the church. One body, one aspect of the church pushes the hand off. No, the intimacy with the Father is just me. And when we think about the ways in which the world enters the church, there's a lot of ways we can say the world enters the church, you know. We're commanded, or suntem îndemnați, to not love the world nor the things of the world, for the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You know, when gossip enters the church, we know that's really the world, because the world is anything that has to do with the sinful nature. That's what we identify as the world, not necessarily the things around us. There's a specific spirit of the world, though, that is entering the church today and has a tendency to enter the church, and maybe it's kind of under the radar, and that is a polarization, the political polarization that occurs outside in the world through the media. You know, the divide and conquer rule. When the Democrats are going to try to rule the Republicans, they're going to try to divide and conquer them. And we've allowed oftentimes this spirit to enter within the church. How? We polarize our ideas. We polarize, we feel we have greater access than the North or than the, you know, Pentecostals. And here's the thing, I want to make this relevant to today because, you know, at the end of the day, when we're living unprecedented times, and people have said maybe we're not living unprecedented times because they've argued there's a Spanish flu, but really we are living unprecedented times, especially for the church. The church has never had an opportunity and the grace. There's really a grace that we've received from God in these times to be able to meet virtually. But discipleship and church fellowship, really, it's a great tool that we can use, but it doesn't happen there. It happens in the fellowship of believers. So what happens today? And you talked about the authority figures, Frate Faud. And the authority figures in the church do the best they can with the revelation they have from God and the insight that they have from God to try to resolve this issue. I believe that all the pastors, you know, that in the ones that I've been watching, I've been trying to watch even local pastors and pastors throughout the country, they all love the fellowship of believers. They all want to come together. Their heart is for the church. And so they're thinking, how can we best make this work? How can we best resolve an unprecedented situation? And you know what causes division within the church? Where the unity of Christ isn't present? Look, social media, one thing it's done, and one thing Facebook has done, is it reveals people's thoughts, ideas, and emotions very easily. You wake up in the morning, or you know, you have a coffee, and you're feeling good and energized from the caffeine, and you're going to go online, and you're going to say something, a feeling, an impulsive emotion that you have. Maybe something you feel very strongly about. But it's very, very important. This is what I want to highlight. It's very, very important that when we consider the body of Christ and we consider the unity that we should be having as a fellowship of believers, that we don't call other people within the body of Christ, other leaders, cowards. It's very important that we don't look at the way other people are handling situations and say that they're prideful or they're arrogant. It's very important that we give them grace and we understand, you know, they're doing the best they can up in the North, and we all know the situation in the North, and a lot of you are in touch with that. And I'm thinking, well, man, God has given them a heart and a desire to work within for their local body, within the context with the governor and the mayor they have there. We have a total different situation here. And we are doing it the best we can. I know that the pastors and leaders of this church and love the Lord and want to see the fellowship of believers back together. But this is my undem. Unity does not come in uniformity and in conformity. If you have conformity and uniformity, you actually don't need unity at the end of the day because you're already unified by every aesthetic, by every intent, by every motive. Where you need unity is in diversity. And that's the beauty. And I think Christ had this in mind. Why do I think this? Because the ultimate theology that we have of the Trinity is that there is unity and diversity. The Father is different from the Spirit, distinctly different. The Son is different. The Holy Spirit is different. Yet they are unified in one in their diversity. And so this is my prayer for us. This is my prayer for the church, for everybody who's out there watching would be, that we'd realize that it's a beautiful thing to have unity and diversity. And the posture of our hearts towards our fellow brothers and sisters should be one of grace. And Philippians 2 is such a beautiful text where it says, submit to one another in love. Consider other people greater than yourself. Would you like to be called a coward? Would you like to be called an arrogant, you know, person in the way you're doing your best to handle? Domnul să ne ajute să înțelegem că unitate nu vine în uniformitate și în conformitate. Când este uniformitate și conformitate, nu trebuie unitate, nu trebuie să ne luptăm pentru unitate. Unitate este necesar unde este diversitate. Ar trebui să ne mulțumim Domnului că avem diversitate în biserica Lui și să înțelegem, să venim să postura, if there's such a word, postura inimii noastre să fie unul de har, unul de dragoste, Și nu de polarizare. Domnul să ne ajute la asta. Amin.